Good morning and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book study. My name is Tina S. and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater. Today is Thursday, April the 2nd, 2026, and today we're reading from the Big Book. We are in There is a Solution on page 28, and it's the third paragraph starting with Distinguished American Psychologist, ending with There is no friction among us over such matters. And the reference, today's readers are, reader of the text is Kathy M., page 164, Ms. S. Our backup today is Martha Z., who's going to read the 12 steps and the 12 traditions, is Cindy H., newcomer greeter Karen W., and second hour host is Robin L. The reference numbers for yesterday, Wednesday, April the 1st, 2026, the 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting, 23,332. That's 23332. And the 10 a.m. Eastern Time, 23,333. 23333. OA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. I will now ask Martha Z to read the 12 steps. Martha?
Thank you, Tina. Good morning, my friends in recovery. This is Martha Z. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater by the grace of God from outside of Philadelphia. Here are the steps as adapted for Overeaters Anonymous. One, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God, as we understood him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being, the exact nature of our wrongs. Six, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Seven, humbly asked him to remove our shortcomings. Eight, made a list of all persons we'd harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9. Made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10. Continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11. Sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood him, praying only for knowledge of his will for us and the power to carry that out. And 12. Having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you.
Thanks so much, Martha Z. Excuse me. I will now ask Cindy H. to read the 12 traditions. Cindy?
Hi, this is Cindy H., recovering compulsive overeater, not cured, in Troy, Michigan. Here are the 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. Number one, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. Two, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God, as he may express himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. Three, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. Four, each group should be autonomous, except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. Five, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. Six, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the name, OA name, to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9, OA, as such, ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. And 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you.
Thanks so much, Cindy. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you're done sharing, let us know by saying pass, then press star 1 to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker should be muted. Today, we resume our study in the chapter, There is a Solution, page 28, third paragraph, starting with the distinguished American psychologist, William, through one paragraph, ending with, there is no friction among us over such matters. And now I will, ask Kathy M. to get us started. Please read, Kathy.
Good morning. This is Kathy M., recovered compulsive overeater, just for today. The distinguished American psychologist William James, in his book Varieties of Religious Experience, indicates a multitude of ways in which men have discovered God. We have no desire to convince anyone that there is only one way by which faith can be acquired. If what we have learned and felt and seen means anything at all, it means that all of us, whatever our race, creed, or color, are the children of a living creator with whom we may form a relationship upon simple and understandable terms, as soon as we are willing and honest enough to try. Those having religious affiliations will find here nothing disturbing to their beliefs or ceremonies. There is no friction among us over such matters. That is a paragraph that I would have just skipped right over when I was reading the Big Book on my own in my early recovery. And even just now, as I read it before the meeting started, I was reminded to set aside what I think I know. I already had a prejudice against this William James person because the name of his book is Varieties of Religious Experience. And I came into the program as a devout agnostic/atheist. But what I've discovered is that James was a physician and a psychologist, not a theologian. He was known for studying the functional value of faith in people's lives, and he thought that belief can be justified even without evidence if positive practical outcomes result. And I thought, I literally just read that about him, and I'm very impressed with his open-minded and tolerant attitude. And I believe that his work led to AA's stance on a higher power, all about tolerance for individuals' definitions of their higher power. So the things that jumped out at me about the paragraph really were that we have to be willing and honest enough to try, and we can find a higher power in simple and understandable terms. Again, I came in not willing to believe in a God, So if the word God had been in step two, I think I would have left for a second time. I did leave in 1987, but I finally came back in 2017. But I was willing to look for a power greater than myself. And I think that simple and understandable terms was the key. I was also desperate, so I was willing to accept that there is something greater than myself, some type of a power stronger than myself. And I was open to receiving a higher power's help, despite not being sure what that higher power was. When I worked the steps, my sponsor helped me see that I could choose what my higher power would be and what traits it would have. And I think this tolerance and acceptance of everybody's higher power, everybody's personalized HP, is what makes the spiritual aspect of this program so applicable and so helpful for the scores of people who have recovered in it. I also learned through this paragraph even that I can receive my higher power's help in my own way. And one way I do that is just by meditation, just by listening to quietly listen. Thank you. Quietly listen, and without having to know what is giving me the guidance. I can accept guidance from an unknown. And on that note, I will pass. Thank you for letting me share.
Thanks so much, Kathy M. Okay, although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your share to every third day so that others may share their experience too. So if you shared on Tuesday or Wednesday, please step back. And I want to take a list of names with your first name, first initial of your last name, and where you're calling from. So who would like to share on this paragraph?
Elizabeth G.
Got Elizabeth. And somebody else came in, but I didn't get the
Lisa
name.
Lisa N.
Lisa
Liz
N.
S.
Liz S.
Robin P.
Robin P.
Lynn S.
Lynn S. I have Elizabeth, Lisa N., Liz S., Robin P., and Lynn S. Anyone else?
Did you get Robin P.?
I got you, Robin, yes.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Anyone else this go around? Okay, we can start with that. We got Elizabeth, and Elizabeth, to give me an initial of your last name. I didn't get that, but Lisa N., Liz S., Robin P., and Lynn S. Please share, Elizabeth.
Good morning. Thank you. My name is Elizabeth D., as in Donald. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater living in Massachusetts. I love this paragraph. It as I get older and as I meet more and more people who are both religious and not religious, it has more and more meaning as I go along. I've been in Overeaters Anonymous for decades, and I have been a religious person all my life. So I have a spiritual foundation through the 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous, and I have a religious affiliation through a denomination of my choice. And I find that the two are quite complementary. What I wanted to comment on most is this comment here at the bottom: there is no friction among us over such matters. It's interesting to me that the man of my dreams at age, when I was turning 60, turned out to be an atheist. I never would have imagined that the man of my dreams, when I was 60 years old and has become my first and only marriage, is an atheist. And he's a very intellectual man, and he's read William James. And he has great admiration for both my religious faith and my 12-step work. and yet he's an atheist. And it just, from the very beginning of our relationship, I knew that what he believed was not important. What mattered was what I believed. And God put him in my life for a reason, and we are married today and have a very strong marriage. And he I never could have imagined that that's the way it would turn out for me. It's sort of like God's little wink and little joke on me. But we have formed a relationship upon my husband and I on simple and understandable terms. He has his way and I have my way. And together we're building a life together. My faith is simple and understandable, and I try very hard to keep it that way. I have no desire to convince anyone to do it my way. This is a relationship with God that is mine alone. And I'll end with this. For me, it's a relationship where God and I co-create my life. And that is a daily conversation between me and my God. And that's how I am co-creating my life. I do not do this perfectly. I take my will back on a regular basis for whatever reason, because things get really bad or things get really good. I begin to think that it's all about me. It's not. I put my life and my will into the
gentle reminder
of God. And that's how it works for me. And I'm very, very grateful that we read this paragraph this morning. And I thank you for allowing me to share.
Thanks so much, Elizabeth D. from Massachusetts. Next, we have Lisa N., followed by Liz S. Please share, Lisa, and let us know where you're calling from.
Thank you, moderator. Lisa N. from Wisconsin. And thank you for your service this morning and everybody on the meeting. You know, I have to say that I really, my eyes are kind of opened with this paragraph. Well, the reason they are is because I have a religion that I would say, I don't know if it's necessarily the religion, it's the faith I believe in, that keeps me thinking, oh, I hate to say it, my faith is the right faith. I hate to say that because, of course, it's just my belief. And everybody else gets a belief. And I love that because in this book, whole big book, you don't have to have one belief. It does not say the only belief you have to have is that the 10 or 12 steps, sorry about that, I'm thinking 10 steps, but the 12 steps of Alcoholics Anonymous are the way to get sober or abstinent or at peace with a higher power. It's the instructions. It doesn't say you have to believe in a certain higher power like I do. But, you know, it's really wonderful because it opened my mind to think, I've never read that book, Varieties of Religious Experience. I need to get that book. I need my mind opened all the time. My higher power doesn't say, look, you believe this and nothing else. My higher power wants me to have an open mind, a full life, and experience that relationship. And think and talk and enjoy. I don't have to just follow rules. I have to be in a relationship with my higher power. And that's what is offered to everybody in this book. It's wonderful because it doesn't have to be narrow. And I can be narrow-minded without really thinking I am or wanting to be. I don't want to be narrow-minded. So I really appreciated today's paragraph because I realize that you're all children of a living creator, like it says. Somebody created us, and that's, I guess, all of that. So thanks so much for listening.
Thanks so much, Lisa N. from Wisconsin. Next, we have Liz S., followed by Robin P. Please share, Liz, and tell us where you're calling from.
Thank you for your service today, Tina. This is Liz S., calling from Oregon. And I'm recovered today, but not cured. I was brought up in a particular Protestant religion, and I rejected that religion, as many people do, when I became a teenager slash young adult, because I think I had enough religious, or I had enough intellectual understanding of the way things worked, that religion was for the weak-minded. And I have, despite that long-held belief, even through years and years of OA, I had a startling religious experience. And then I have had several times kinds of religious experience over the years of the educational variety. I think I need to get this variety of religious experience onto my Kindle. And one of the things that popped out at me from this paragraph, though, was willing and honest enough. I mean, I can be willing and honest all day long, but am I willing and honest enough to try? And I haven't always been that way. I had my mind closed. That thing that they, the quote that they erroneously attribute to Herbert Spencer is, you know, shut your mind against exploration of possibilities. And that's where I was. And I am grateful to this program for offering me a way to see things in another, from another aspect. So thank you, everyone, for your service. Thank you for the lead share. And I pass.
Thanks so much, Liz S. from Oregon. Next, we have Robin P., followed by Lynn S. Please share, Robin.
Thanks so much for your service. Hi, I'm Robin P., and I'm a very grateful recovered compulsive overeater in Franklin, Tennessee. And, you know, I came into the program years ago, a devout atheist. I was raised that way. And I was so desperate for help. I was a low-bottom bulimic. And I saw God on the walls. And I went, no, these people substituted one crutch for another, and I desperately need help. And I walked out. And somebody told me in the program, who was a friend of mine, she said, you know, any power, if you can just have the willingness to act as if that you believe in any power that is greater than your God, which is food, because your God has not been working for you. And it was so helpful for me. She just said, just get on your knees in the morning and ask for help. And at the end of the day, say thank you. And that's it. And to this power you don't believe in, but that you're willing to just act as if. And it just, you know, it. I believe that this program was my bridge to God because of the, you know, getting honest, open, and willing. I had a spiritual awakening of the profound variety several years later that brought me to the religion that I have today. And, you know, and I also love that that this program is so inclusive. It's one of the reasons that, in my opinion, you know, the traditions, that it works, you know, that there are people in here who don't believe in God, who do believe in God, who believe in different gods. It's all great. You know, I'm so grateful for that. And I'm so grateful, you know, I've, by God's grace and mercy, I've been abstinent for over 10 years. And And I still, it's a daily faith walk. You know, I get to just keep reaching up and reaching out every day. And I cannot rest on my laurels. And even though I have had a profound experience spiritually that led me to the God of my understanding, I still daily have a faith walk. I still have these moments of fear and get to work 10 steps. And, you know, someone would think, wow, you've had these spiritual experiences. You would just have faith all the time. And it's just not like that for me. I just get to keep practice growing spiritually and not resting on my laurels. God bless everybody with a really blessed abstinent day, and I pass. Thank you.
Thanks so much, Robin P. from Tennessee. And before we hear from Lynn, let me remind everybody where we're reading from. And if you've just come on, if you've come on a little late and didn't know, we are on page 28, and there is a solution, and it's the third paragraph, starting with the distinguished American psychologist, ending with there is no friction among us over such matters. And Lynn S., please share with us.
Good morning, Tina. Good morning, Vision. My name is Lynn S., and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater in Toronto, Canada. And this just really spoke to me this morning. All of us are the children of a living creator with whom we may form a relationship upon simple and understandable terms. And it just reminds me of all the places in our text where it says, basically the whole point of this text is to help you develop a relationship with God, which will solve your problems. And it's not that God is going to help me do anything. You know, it's that God is the power. It's just really, it's almost like in Klieg Lights right now, like God is the power that does this. You know, I came into OA in 1989 because I could not stop eating. I didn't come in to lose weight anymore. I'd lost weight. I'd lost 100 pounds for 20 years, up and down and up and down and up and down. And it didn't make any difference. Nothing made any difference. And I just came in because I'd scared myself because I couldn't stop eating. And instead of just getting a solution to that problem, like somebody helped me with this, what I got was a relationship with the power of God, and it transformed my whole life. My whole life, from somebody who didn't want to live and who had no interest in God at all and couldn't get along with anybody, especially myself, to having a full, vibrant, happy life in a body that's been 140 pounds lighter for 37 years. But more important than that, that has a relationship with God, which I had firmly shut the door on and didn't want anything to do with. And I'm all sidetracked because this isn't what I wanted to say. What I wanted to say just was the power of God does everything for me. It doesn't help me do anything. God doesn't help me do anything. God does it. God transformed my life. God has removed the obsession for food. God has given me a life where I can be, where I have a purpose. There is a purpose to me being here.
Gentle reminder.
Thank you, Tina. You know what? I'm just going to end with that. I wasn't able to articulate what I'm feeling in my heart, but I'm feeling it. Thank you, Tina.
Thanks so much, Lynn S. from Canada. And we're going to take another list of names. And although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your share to every third day so that others may share their experience. So if you've shared on Tuesday or Wednesday, please step back. And who would like to share?
Herbert.
Betty James.
Tennessee.
Melissa C.
Herbert and Shanna, Melissa.
Betty Jean.
Somebody else was in there that I didn't get.
Betty Jean.
Okay. Yeah. I missed somebody. I got Herbert, Shannon, Melissa, and Betty Jean.
Yes.
Okay, we could take a few more names. Herbert, Shanna, Melissa, and Betty Jean. Who else wants to share on this paragraph?
Cheryl L., Florida.
Cheryl L.?
Yes, Cheryl L.
Okay, thank you. Anyone else? Okay, let's go with this, and then we probably could take a few more after. Okay, Herbert, please share with us.
Good morning, everyone. I'm Herbert F. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater from New Mexico. And I want to encourage everyone who's on the line, if you haven't shared, but to please step up and share your voice. We could really use some new voices on the line. But what I really wanted to share was that I just love that the book is encouraging us, and I think, in fact, requires us to explore and expand our spirituality, I'll say. Because the God of my childhood was perfectly willing to murder all of us because we didn't like what we, because he didn't like what we were doing. The God of my childhood said, love me above all else or else I'm going to flush you down to hell in a river of fire and blood. Well, you know, why? Because he loved us. Like, that's not a God of my understanding. I don't understand that God. It's written in the steps. So now in my adult life, and because of the big book and the lessons that I learned here, I'm becoming a polytheist. I'm trying to expand and enlarge my spiritual life by exploring other religious traditions. Right now, I'm studying the New Testament, and it is just a delight. The teachings within that are marvelous. Before that, I read a book called The Tao Te Ching, which was written 500 years before the Bible, and wow, it was just miraculous, the teachings there. I read a book of the teachings of Black Elk, and I say, Mitaka Ilyasin, all of my relations. It is absolutely beautiful. And I want to explore reincarnation because the God of my understanding is not going to condemn me to hell because I don't believe in his son. If that's not the God of my understanding, I don't mean any disrespect to anybody. And, you know, I'm also very, very interested in atheism and agnosticism, and we hear a fellow on the line say, I don't care about that. I don't care about God. It's just a wonderful experience to me to experience the varieties of religious expression on this line and in this program, because like the book says, and all the warnings, failure to enlarge our spiritual life is going to lead us back into the food and back into a death. And even a death while I'm living, you know, I wanted to die when I was in the food. And finally, I got honest with myself, honest with my sponsor, got rid of all those yellow light foods. There are no yellow light foods in my life. So I'll just end with what we read the other day, the quote from Herbert Spencer, you know, contempt prior to investigation. And in my life, because of my upbringing and religious tradition, I learned to condemn other religions. And the book helps put the mirror in front of me. And it's not up to me to condemn anyone else or anyone else's religious tradition. So my amends if I've offended anyone, but it's working for me, and the steps work for me, and they have saved me from the food and the living hell here on earth of this disease. Thank you. God bless everyone for being
and
part
a
of
reminder.
My recovery. And thank you for all of your service here on this line. I'll pass.
Thanks so much, Herbert F. from New Mexico. Next, we have Shanna C., followed by Melissa C. Please share, Shannon. Shanna.
Good morning, Tina. Thank you so much for your service. Awesome to hear your voice and everyone else, and thanks everyone who shared. This is Shanna C., grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater through the mercy and grace of a loving God, that I've been able to be abstinent today, and oh my goodness, it's a miracle for my life. and I'm currently in Florida, and we'll be here for a little while undergoing treatment at Mayo Clinic for some health problems and remaining abstinent through this power I've accessed through the God of my understanding who loves me. And I, you know, the fact that I'm able to and willing to and to not eat, and that that obsession has been removed, is nothing short of a miracle. And I, reading through this paragraph, you know, I heard a lot of talk about, you know, God of this and that and people's understandings and everything. And, you know, the God of my understanding met me where I was. And the God of my understanding just so happened to be what I thought was the condemning God of my childhood. And so grateful for this program that enables me to set aside prejudice. I didn't realize I was prejudiced. And my filter was dirty. You know, when I would hear about God, you know, as a kid and growing up, I had a rough, you know, background. I didn't understand everything. And it didn't occur to me that maybe my filter was dirty and I wasn't understanding what people were trying to share with me. And it wasn't just what people were trying to share with me about God. It was what people were trying to share me with about themselves, what I understood about myself, what I understood about life and people all together. My filter was clogged. And I had dirty glasses, and I was seeing the world through all these resentments, fears, and hostility that I was carrying. I didn't even know because I was blocked off from the truth. And so the God of my understanding, I understood to be condemning when actually he was the one that was so wonderful and holy and great. But I was so scared and I thought I wasn't good enough, and I was automatically assuming he knew I wasn't good enough and he didn't love me. So it was easier for me to say he didn't want me and I wasn't good enough, whatever, because I was too afraid to make the approach. I didn't learn how to do that and see that until I went through the steps. The set-aside prayer, you may hear it a lot in these meetings and stuff, and especially for those who are new, who are like, oh, my God, this meeting. I was told to get on this meeting because I want to quit eating. I can't stop eating. All they're doing is talking about all this God stuff. Oh, you know, what is my real problem, all this stuff? Well, for me, just to keep it really simple, is physically I cannot, there are certain foods and ingredients I cannot have. I cannot start eating without developing what is called the phenomenon of craving. I'm physically allergic to certain foods, and it sets up a craving for more and more. I can't stop no matter how great the necessity or the wish, and I can't stop starting of my own unaided will. My willpower and self-discipline didn't work. It worked in other areas, but I needed real power, and I needed something to remove the problem. Thank you. And I needed a new way to live. And so what has happened is through people carrying a message of hope to me and giving me this new way to live through the teaching in this big book, I've been able to put down the food and live a life beyond anything I could ever hope to expect. And I'm so grateful. Anyway, that's all I have. Thank you so much. And I hope everyone has a wonderful day.
Thanks so much, Shanna C. from Tennessee, and hope you get well real soon. Next, we have Melissa C., followed by Billie Jean. Please share, Melissa.
Hey, good morning, Tina. Thanks so much for your service this morning. I'm Melissa C. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater in New York, and sending my wishes for quick and speedy and beautiful recovery to Shanna. It kind of makes me think about, you know, when I read this paragraph, I think about the way that I had my spiritual experience and, you know, and paragraphs like this that made it so open and available to me, that it was available to all of us, right? No matter what our background was, our race or creed or color, and what is it that's available to us, that we get to be the children of a living creator that we can form a relationship with. But it's a simple and understandable relationship, and I have to be willing and honest enough to try. And I think, you know, one of my personal obstacles was I came in here, you know, on the heels of a number of personal tragedies, and that felt like an obstacle to God, because I couldn't understand how a God, you know, know that was going to be my father, that I was going to be the child of this living creator, and he could have allowed those things to have occurred in my life. You know, I had loss of a child. My best friend died horrendously. My father-in-law and then my father in a relatively short time. And, you know, by the way, I was a compulsive overeater years before those things occurred. But that was my excuse why I struggled with a relationship with God. And I was told through this program that it was okay that I could begin to have a relationship with a God and not be able to understand why those things happened. And as I worked the steps, what really occurred for me was this profound realization that I was expecting God to, you know, to keep me from having a human experience. And human experiences, the way that we're designed, we have an end life, all of us, you know. And so it's only normal that if you are loved and you have love in your life, you're going to experience loss. But here's the good news. Like, God might not have protected me from that, but he definitely sustained me through all of it. And that's the relationship that I have with God today, that I can put my greatest difficulties, my greatest obstacles, my compulsive overeating was the biggest obstacle in my life, even greater than all those losses, that I could give all of that to this loving creator, and he could reform me, reshape me into the kind of person that can actually live in peace amongst all those things and not eat compulsively. And with that, I pass. Thanks.
Great timing. Thanks so much, Melissa C. from New York. Next, we have Billie Jean, followed by Cheryl L. Please share, Billie Jean. Tell us where you're calling from.
Hi, this is Betty Jean, and I'm calling from Connecticut. Betty Jean M. from Connecticut. Thank you. When I was raised by loving parents in a very loving, very traditional Western religion. And that religion, that belief, and that fellowship supported me and comforted me and brought me, I believe, to this program. When I came to this program, I was very desperate, very broke, and out of touch with the God of my understanding. And when I came to my first program, I thought, these people are a bunch of religious fanatics. That's what this is. This might even be a cult. All they're doing is talking about God. And I didn't get it at all. I realized in coming into a program and embracing the beliefs that I'd been raised with, I realized that I had been worshiping food and my altar was the drive-thru. And I had to stop that. I had to turn to the God that created me and that loved me. One thing that helped me was hearing all these people on meetings talk about all these different spiritual experiences coming from all different points of view, having all different experiences, but being the same as me. And I've grown so much from that. And I like that we're all different and we all have different experiences. And when I came to that first meeting, what I felt was love and acceptance. And that's what I feel for my higher power now. I feel love and I feel acceptance, but I have to keep working. You know, there's people who come on a meeting and just listen. That's what I wanted to do with God. I wanted to sit back and listen. And I know now that I have to listen first, yes, but I have to take action. I have to work my side of the street. And most importantly, I have to keep expanding that spiritual experience and keep working that every day like it's my job, because it is. And part of that spiritual experience is reaching out to other people, not to convert them to my beliefs, but to listen to them and to be there and to help them however I can. That's practicing my religion. And I'm so glad that, you know, I can come to this program every day and surrender. But in order to surrender, I had to trust my higher power. And that for me was the biggest and the hardest thing. I had to really let go. I had to jump into that open space, knowing that my higher power would catch me. And all of you were there for me, too. And I'm very grateful for that. And with that, I'll pass.
Thanks so much, Betty Jean M. from Connecticut. Next, we have Cheryl L., and then we'll take a couple more names. Please share, Cheryl.
Thank you. Good morning. This is Cheryl L. calling from Florida this morning. I'm grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater. I really appreciate the shares this morning and appreciate, you know, being with you all. you know, my experience on this is that, you know, I was definitely searching, you know, for something, something that I could connect to a God I could connect to, you know, some 30 years ago when I came into another fellowship. And I suffered from that anxious apartness that so many of us feel, like I didn't belong. I didn't belong in the church in the faith of my youth. And I really do believe that ultimately, you know, it was that desire to connect with a higher power that brought me into my first program, because I was powerless, you know, and I had to do something different. And I knew that that God was missing from my life. And it's, you know, it's frequently said that that God gets us to our recovery program, and then our recovery program gets us back to our higher power. And that has been my experience. I'm very, very, I don't know how to say this, but I'm very careful, you know, when I share my experience, strength, and hope, to keep the faith that I belong to out of it. You know, it says, you know, we disclose in a general way what we used to be like, what happened, and what we are like now. But I do find that sometimes my faith does come in into my relationships with my sponsees. And I think that's something I need to be, you know, really aware of, because, you know, my sponsees and other people that I share with, they have their own experience, and I don't mean to diminish or to take away, you know, from that. And so that's something I have to really take a close look at. But what I do believe is what it says in here, that we are all children of a living and a loving Creator. And really all, you know, what step two says to me is just that all I have to believe that there is a power that's greater than myself, and it's not me. And, you know, in the very beginning, the fellowship, you know, my sponsor and close friends in the program, those are the ones that I look to. Those are the ones, the concrete examples, God with skin on, as I've come to believe, that we're able to bring, you know, a loving Creator, you know, into my presence, into my awareness. And that was where I had to start. And today I continue to work, you know, a spiritual program, and I continue to try to bring how my God would have me be and what my God would have me do into the actions of my daily life.
That's a reminder.
But with that, I'll pass. Thank you so much.
Thanks so much, Cheryl L. from Florida. So we have time for two more shares. Who would like to share?
Helene L.
Lori H. L.
Natalie F.
Helene L. and Anita J. Sorry. Helene L., please share.
Thank you. I'm Helene L., committed to my abstinence and recovery. This month, I'm 52 years abstinent. Thank you, God. I came into program and I was an atheist. I had almost jumped out of a four-story window, actually the night before, and I met someone. There was no one at the meeting. It was a face-to-face meeting. No one was at the meeting except one woman who sat on the stoop stairs with me, and she spoke so much from her heart. At that point, I did not see any light at the end of the tunnel, but her caring got me to go to a meeting the next day and the next day and the next day. And OA has been good parenting for me. The God that I had was the God of my childhood, punitive, critical, alcoholic father type of God. Through the years, going through the big book, coming to meetings, being part of program, going through deaths, going through births, going through celebrations, going through grief, having a range of feelings, which I never had before I came into program, I have today a loving God. That doesn't mean I feel loving all the time. I have step work to do, and I reach out to people. I have my own challenges. Life is hard. It ain't easy. But I do want to say something on this meeting, because I don't know if people know this, and if not, there is you can Google it. When I first came in, what really made sense to me is that there was a guy, Dr. Hirsch, at Rockefeller University in New York, who was doing work on obese people, and he said that the fat cells of people like me, my sister was a civilian, I'm not, are different than normal people. In other words, we can shrink the cells, but it can always come back. And those kind of things, you know, even though I didn't understand at the time, made sense. I have certain boundaries now. I have a deep desire to be of service after going through the steps so that I can live my life, but I can't go out and eat normally like other people. I just can't because I am a compulsive overeater. So that's it for me.
Thanks, Celine L. Where are you calling from, please?
New York City.
All right. Thank you so much, Celine. Okay, next, Anita J. Please share, Anita.
Thank you. Thank you so much. Thanks for everybody who shared. I'm Anita J., a compulsive overeater in Massachusetts. You know, my God, for years I had confused with the man or woman who was preaching about him. And so when the minister had an affair, I threw the baby out with the bathwater. I stopped going to church. I put so much power in that human man, you know, that he could take, who is he to take my God away? But I didn't realize at the time. And the first thing OA ever did for me was in 1978, the woman who was up front, that's what they used to do, telling her story, talked about God. And it just like opened the door again. I let that experience with the minister throw it all away. But I was so eager to get it back that this lady would, I don't know what else she said because it didn't matter. She gave me that contact. But through the years, my first, I've never left OA, but my first experience again was that he was always there. It didn't matter the drunken mother who, you know, some of you know this, bound and gagged me and threw me in a parking garage pit. But somebody found me. I repressed all that until OA, until I had some awareness and some therapy. But that didn't, you know, this is just part of my story. And I love that woman. She's long dead now. She didn't know what to do. She didn't have OA. She needed AA and OA. The point is, this God, and sometimes I think, are you there, God? I say that a lot of times. Are you there? Are you there? Yes, he's there. It's me who moved. You've heard that in the program. Who moved? The point is, the second time, I never left, but my contact got so loose, got so tenuous. I'm fighting for my faith again. I'm fighting for that contact with him. I mean, he's not fighting, it's me. And it's of a different kind. And I think, isn't that interesting? He wants me. He's cheering. Who's my biggest cheerleader? Well, there's one lady on this line's my cheerleader. But the other one is God cheering me on. Come on, Anita, you're on the right track. Just keep following, you know, your heart. And thank you, everybody. This is the bunch, aren't we? Aren't you? I pass.
Thanks so much, Anita J. from Massachusetts. Okay, and thank you to everyone who shared. Please join us for a second unrecorded hour of study immediately following closing. And today's share ID for Thursday, April the 2nd, 2026, is 23,335. That's 23335. We will now close with the reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. And Liz S., will please read A Vision for You. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. Keep you until then.
Thank you. Thank you for your service, too. Liz, compulsive overeater, recovered in Oregon. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who's still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. Be to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.